This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, Kings in the North, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Hey, yeah, we are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan here on a Monday night. TFC Pitchside, Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, and also joined in studio by special friend, special guest, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio. Yeah, guys, so a 1-1 draw with the Philadelphia Union at BMO Field this weekend. Playoff spot is finally clinched, though TFC didn't really do it themselves. It happened because Montreal lost to the New York Red Bull. And yes, as expected, the 26 results that needed to go their way for TFC to not clinch did not happen. But now it's just 2 points in three games.
First off, I wanted to say it's always a party when Cubani's in the studio with us.
That's because I just love to watch you guys bicker. I tweeted it at you earlier today. Watching you two both in here and off the mic, it's like you guys are an old married couple. It's nice. It's refreshing to see.
It's a love-hate relationship, you know.
Hate on my part.
Mostly hate on his part, but of course, because he's the wife, right? But, so that's why it would be hate.
But what it's important for listeners to understand.
I would say I run the show, by the way.
But you're the wife, though, in this relationship.
It's important for listeners to understand, though, that you guys are like this off air as well. Like the arguments you guys have on the mics about TFC, whether it's Jozy Altidore or whatever the case is, that carries on off the mics as well. So.
Well, we'd like it to continue on the air here tonight, and it will, and we hope you will join us for it. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on the cell. Your thoughts on TFC? Just 2 points from their last three home games. Is that a worry? What is the team's best shape? What is their best 11? Who is the ideal playoff matchup? Is Wednesday against Orlando a must win? These are all questions we are going to be answering tonight.
And great questions for our listeners to call in for.
Exactly.
But let's start with number one.
What happened on Saturday?
That's probably a good place to go, especially in that first half.
What happened in the first half? No shots in that first 45 minutes. I have written down on my sheet here, the team was balls for the first 45. And look, I haven't said that about TFC very often this season.
So some in-depth analysis?
Well, yeah. They were. Like, they didn't do anything. They didn't create anything. They gave up a lot of chances to a team that, they do score a good amount of goals, but, you know, a team that TFC is better than, even without Sebastian Giovinco, in my opinion.
Yeah, just right off the top, they were very complacent and very lazy in the first half, and you saw it on a numerous of occasions. You saw it with Warren Cravall, that run. This is what we're bickering about earlier. How does three players just sit and watch? And I think that perfectly explained how TFC were playing up to that point throughout the first half. It was just awful. Everyone was watching. It was like they had a late night the night before.
They went to a party?
Yeah, they weren't there.
Liberty Village?
Somewhere. I'm not naming names. I don't know.
You're not naming names?
I'm not naming names.
They were just bleh. You know what I mean? You said it. They were lazy. It was uncharacteristic. And I know you guys are on the same page about this. Nick Hagelin, he looked out of position. He looked uncomfortable. And the team suffered as a result of that.
Well, Hagelin's positioning wasn't great. And you look at the goal. He's the one who plays Alejandro Bedoya onside. And it's a great goal. Like, he still has to do all the work to get it, plays the beautiful chip over Clint Irwin, which Thomas, as a goalkeeper, believes was not any of Clint Irwin's fault.
Not at all. If you chip a keeper and he's inside his six-yard box, the keeper will get it. It sucks, but you're going to get up and you're going to applaud that striker because that's absolutely perfect precision accuracy.
And especially after watching Bradley Wright Phillips' attempt the week before trying to chip Bono, you understand how difficult it is.
And that first goal of his Union career for Alejandro Bedoya. Now you get into the second half. And to me, I've had this conversation with people on this very radio station, callers after games, talking about Jonathan Osorio, and a lot of people seem to think that Oso isn't good enough.
You know what's funny about that is how much flack do you get on Twitter because you support Osorio? There's a lot of people out there in the Twitterverse who are fairly confident in themselves to tweet all their theories out. I want to see if any of these guys call in to give us these theories, because if you actually watch soccer, how do you think he's awful and he's not contributing?
Here's the thing with that, and that's why I take it with a grain of salt, because those are also the same people who somehow argue he should be on the Canadian men's national team and like criticizing Flora for not picking him, right? So it's like... Well,
that's all right, it's very true. Let me put it this way. Who was the best player for TFC in the second half when they started to outplay Philly? Thomas.
For me, I like Osorio. I think Osorio did great things throughout the whole game. And that play, the goal alone.
He had that flash, that confidence that I agree. We haven't seen it enough from him this year to take players on one-on-one, but he did it consistently on Saturday.
And say what you want about him, like, you know, errant passes here or there. He does more good than bad. Like, look at that. Just that play alone. That's all him. That's all him to set up Moro for the goal. Everything. And that's calm, collect. That's what you want to see. He's still a young guy. He still has a lot to learn, but he's doing all the right things and he's producing.
I wouldn't say he was the best player in the second half, but somebody who certainly whose impact was felt in the second half, Delgado. And when we talked about this off air, you noticed right away the difference he made when he came on the pitch. And I think that's what makes him such a great player. And he's one of those guys, just like Osorio, who often gets a lot of flack from listeners or viewers.
I give him a little flack, but not as much
as Sebastian Giovinco. But
yeah. But his potential, like Delgado is one of those kids that you know is going to be something special in a few years.
That's the voice of Marco Cubani D'Onofrio, our in-studio guest today on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. Thomas Michalakos here as well as usual. Give us a call, Sportsnet 590, the fan, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590. TFC with a 1-1 draw against the Philadelphia Union on Saturday. Their hold on a top two spot, not necessarily wavering. According to ESPN, they still have a 91% shot to finish in the top two, which would give them a bye week in the MLS postseason. But are you worried about how things have shaken out over the last little bit? Do you like the way things are going? Are you worried about Sebastian Giovinco, who, by the way, I do have an update.
Hit it.
On Sebastian Giovinco. You know, guys, it was a bit weird how things played out ahead of the game on Saturday. I'm getting towards the stadium. I see Kurt Larson tweeting that Sebastian Giovinco went home to Italy to get treatment from his personal physician, a trusted physician. He was given special permission by the club to do so. I mean, it seemed awfully similar to 2014, right?
Yeah, I was just about to say the exact same thing. Are we seeing a little Jermaine Defoe?
No.
Come on.
No, it's very... Okay.
Okay, look, I'm just trying to goat you guys into saying something that's not working.
I can understand why TFC fans would be concerned, because you know what I mean?
Who's concerned about that, though?
But I think, knowing the history of this franchise, wouldn't that be so TFC?
But you got to look at the character of the both players that we're talking about. And Giovinco and Defoe, we've said it time and again.
Night and day.
So it's a completely different issue. So I'm not worried. Are you worried?
No, I'm not. And I don't think we should be. I was told he's scheduled to be back tonight. Didn't look at the flights coming in from Italy, but I'm told by a club official that Giovinco is back tonight, or was scheduled to be back tonight and in training tomorrow.
Any chance he starts Wednesday or plays?
Still questionable, according to Vanny. Still questionable. So,
and it all plays into another question that you have is the next game must win? And if it is must win, because it should be if you want to finish first, wouldn't you want Giovinco to play?
But to counter that, yeah, you want Giovinco to play. And as much as we can say it's a must win, and this leads into that question, it's not, because one, it's not a playoff game. And would you rather have risk a potential injury to Giovinco or further injury to Giovinco?
You can beat Orlando without him.
I totally agree. I'm not saying that he should play.
Yeah.
I'm saying that it goes with the question that it is a must win. I still see this game as a must win. You want to finish first.
You want a fully fit
100%.
Giovinco ready for that playoff.
And like Riccio said, they don't need Giovinco to really beat them. And they're playing
And again, it's about having the killer instinct. I was asking Vanny about this last week, and you know, if they win that game against Philly, they clinch a home playoff spot. And now they can still do it if they beat Orlando on Wednesday. But not only that, you get the win at home, you clinch a home playoff spot, you also kick Orlando out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a very slim chance as it is, but you officially eliminate them from postseason contention.
Now, let me ask you something about Jozy Altidore. Are you concerned about his playing time now? Because he's getting a lot more minutes. Not that he wouldn't be getting these minutes anyways, but
about getting injured.
Yeah, and without Jovinko in the lineup, you need Altidore.
You got to get Tosin back.
Yeah. So are you concerned about Altidore potentially getting injured again if he continues to play? And if he starts Wednesday,
Saturday. This is my chance to gloat here, right? You guys know where I'm going right now?
About Jozy?
No, well, about who was partnering Jozy and how they looked better when they changed up the partnership up top. Right? Jordan Hamilton, Jozy Altidore didn't work. And who comes in late in the second half? It was supposed to be Tsubasa Endo, but no, I tweet out, maybe Mo Babuli should come in because Jozy and Jordan isn't working together.
So what do you want?
Endo all of a sudden,
an award?
Endo all of a sudden goes back to doing warm-ups. And Greg Vanney, I don't know if you saw my tweet or what.
What is this guy want right now?
He did not
brings
see
in Mo Babuli.
But that also had to do with the goal.
And Mo Babuli almost scored a couple of goals. Okay,
but he was also planning to make that double substitution without Babuli. It was Endo and who else was going to come on the pitch at that time. He was playing the double substitution and then the goal happened. And that kind of, I'm sure, altered the plans a little bit too, but...
I can't believe
they were
still
going for the win too.
Look, I'm not against Mo Babuli turning into a great player.
I'm just saying he's a better partner for Jozy Altidore than Jordan Hamilton is. Yeah. There was no combination.
That I agree, but I still don't know what's the gloating. What do you want out of this?
I was saying that from the start. That Mo Babuli, if Jovinko were to go out injured, Mo Babuli would be a better fit in the lineup than to have Jozy and Jordan together.
You know what? You're right. The next coffee's on me. That's your reward.
See, and that's the bickering.
I've never seen Thomas back down in an argument. This is unbelievable. This is a watershed moment on the show.
I'm backing down to move along. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Dan Reed with Thomas Michalakos with special guest on TFC Pitchside, Marco D'Onofrio, and just getting a tweet from Dante. He says, "Hey, Dan, you're my paisan. Hashtag Vallelonga." It's true. We're paisans. Anyways.
Riccio's feeling the love. Eh?
Well, you know, got to give a shout out for my paisani, yeah?
To your peeps.
We got to get to the penalty call.
Mm-hmm. You sure do.
Jozy Altidore, 90th minute, and he goes in for a ball with, who was it that he was going in with the ball? On the play, I can't even remember the guy's name.
I can't even remember either. I see the play, but I don't see the number.
I've watched it over like 100 times, and I can't remember
who
he went into the 50-50 challenge with.
But you know the ref's name.
I do know the ref's name. Ishmael Elfath decides it's not a penalty, despite 25,000 people at BMO Field screaming for one.
Isn't this bad, though, that we know the ref's name, but we don't know the player's
name? Well, it's the third
name.
Time he screwed TFC
this
year.
That tell you about the officiating?
It doesn't say very much.
You know, Michael knows the ref's name.
So the penalty's not given. Jozy kicks the ball away. He's snapping. After the final whistle is blown, he yells at the ref, gets a yellow card, as many of the TFC players did. I didn't really like seeing that. But I thought it was a penalty. I thought Jozy had position. Marco?
I agree. I thought it was a penalty.
Thomas?
On this one, I have to say I don't agree with you guys. And the reason why I say that is on the run of play, I was screaming penalty. I'm telling you that right now. I'm screaming penalty.
So real time.
So you would think that the ref would see that. Now, I don't know exactly where his positioning was to see it, but when you watch it on replay, he does step on him and you're calling positioning, but sticking out a leg is not positioning. You have to have more control of your body in front of your opponent.
Yeah.
And just sticking out your foot, and he didn't try to trip him. He stuck out his foot to get that positioning, stepped on his ankle. They collided. They went down. As much as I don't like this official,
I will say this.
I got to say it's not a penalty after seeing it on replay. He doesn't see it on replay, so I don't know what he's doing.
I know Jason DeVos on the broadcast called it the right call from Ishmael Elfath.
But we watch it on replay.
Somebody
that's
we
why.
Very much respect, Janic Mihalik, on Twitter, as it happened, said it was the right call. So it was more of a 50-50 split between people who thought it was a penalty.
So can I get that coffee now?
No, but here's the thing.
No, you already given up.
The fact that we've been debating it and the fact that it is a 50-50 split probably means the ref made the right call in the sense that you're going to decide or alter a game at the depth like that.
Well, he did it in Orlando against TFC.
Yeah, see, the key point is he's like, when you see it in real time, absolutely you see a penalty. I don't think his eyes can slow it down that way. Maybe he saw it differently, but
if it's another ref,
it's not a penalty.
He called the foul on Josie.
See, not for diving or anything.
Josie
though, right?
got kicked in the back of the leg. Not
well. He stepped in front of him. Stepped on his ankle, and then he got kicked in the back of the leg.
But I
thought he was giving him a yellow card for diving at one point.
But do you think there's a little bit more compassion or sympathy for the ref if it's somebody else? If he hadn't blown those calls earlier in the year,
no.
With the Rapids, and
the one
that
in Orlando gives Orlando a penalty call, 3-2. They win it. In the injury time, and then in Colorado, he sent off Benoit Cheyroux for two. One was certainly a yellow card. The second one was very debatable.
Look, I don't care who you are. I don't care who the ref is. Everyone in BMO Field would be shouting penalty. I don't care who. You could have ref the game, Riccio. You could have ref the game.
Okay, but every...
They're call. Everyone's going to go freaking out saying, it's a penalty. Okay, it doesn't matter who the ref is.
But fans are freaking out for penalties, even when there clearly shouldn't be a penalty.
But that's,
right?
But that's my point. So it doesn't matter if it was that ref. It could have been any ref. Everyone's going to be freaking out for a penalty if you're a TFC fan.
Let's hear from the players in the game and what they thought. And
yes,
I will say Philadelphia head coach Jim Curtin said as he saw it, the referee made the right call, but he did or was informed by his staffers that it was most definitely a penalty. So they got away with one, according to the Philadelphia staff.
You know what I would do in that situation? I would fire that staff. What are you doing?
Well, he's just being honest, and I appreciate a guy being honest. Like
honesty's one thing, but that wasn't a penalty.
As for some TFC players, certainly Greg Vanney thought it was a penalty. But here is, you want to go to Bradley first or Altidore? All right. Here's Michael Bradley after TFC's 1-1 draw with the Philadelphia Union on whether or not the Reds deserved a penalty late in the match.
probably a penalty, but he didn't give it, and that's football.
That's football.
That is football.
And that's Michael Bradley.
Great answer.
That's Michael Bradley.
Do you remember the refs, Captain Bradley?
Yeah, we remember.
That sounds... very menacing in a very
he's gone
creepy
off on
way.
MLS refereeing a
and
couple
he's got
of
in
times.
Trouble before.
Josie Altidore was a little bit more political in his answers about referee Ishmael Elfath.
Like I said, in our league, the referees are what they are. I mean, they're the best referees in the world, so we're very lucky.
Very lucky. I love the way he ends it. We're very lucky.
Whatever job you have, you don't want someone else to explain that you are what you are. That's horrible.
But see, that's the most telling part about that thing is he says they are what they are, and you're expecting him to say something really awful, and he kind of catches himself.
The refs are awesome.
And so he gives them the most absurd compliment in the planet.
I will say this. So I'm watching, I'm browsing through MLSsoccer.com as we're preparing to do the show today.
One of the worst websites.
And you know what? I know every week they do a video called Instant Replay, and they go through some of the controversial calls that go on around the league through the weekend.
Highlight your incompetence.
basically, do you know how long the video was this week?
How long?
It was 10 minutes long. There's 10 games. You're spending a minute on every game for every controversial call that was made in a soccer match.
That's absurd.
10 minutes. How do you find 10 minutes of content there?
MLS, they're the best referees in the world.
They have the best website in the world and the best highlight packs in the world.
I love the fact that they point out each and every call that they happen to get right as well. In the video, they actually thought Elfath got it right.
I think we should talk like Josie on this one whenever we talk about the MLS refs. Everything's awesome.
Best in the world.
It's the Lego movie.
Did want to get to this. We talked about Clint Irwin. I thought he had a fantastic game. Good start back in goal.
Great game.
I think he's certainly cemented back into his job unless TFC get blown out in a game or something like that. Something crazy is going to have to happen for Alex Bono to get back in there. But Michael Bradley, captain, of course, wanted to shout out somebody that we maybe haven't mentioned all year on the show. So here he is, Michael Bradley on TFC's Keepers.
We're lucky we have two very, very good goalkeepers. Three very good goalkeepers. Because I think, Q deserves a lot of respect in this whole thing. Obviously, the way things have gone this year, he hasn't gotten his chance yet in the first team. But the way that, again, Clint, Alex, Q are able to push each other on a daily basis and continue to improve as a group, we feel comfortable with every one of these guys. And it was good to have Clint back tonight. You know, I thought he was exactly what we've come to expect from him, and that was very good.
There is the captain, Michael Bradley, shouting out Quillen Roberts, who doesn't get a sniff to start an MLS match, but we see him in training all the time. He does the job, and I guess it's not a great job when you're not getting the opportunities, but he puts in the work in practice, and that's big for a team throughout the season, and you can get those reps in training.
And realistically, he is the third goalkeeper. I mean, ideally, you never want your third goalkeeper to have to start.
And you know what? I don't want to say that TFC are for sure going to trade either him or Alex Bono. I would believe it is Alex Bono.
You would imagine.
But, you know, you got two expansion franchises. Goalies seem to always have value around the league. It would make sense if somebody comes calling and you can maybe make an upgrade elsewhere. But at the same time, Bono's free on the cap, so you have no incentive really to trade him.
Being a goalkeeper is a lonely job. You're like alone on an island. And when you're a third goalkeeper and you've been at a club, well, let's talk.
You have very much experience in this, don't you?
Riding the pint?
Third, fourth sometimes, fourth, fifth sometimes. Maybe I'll go down to the D League. Who knows? But
Quillen, you get benched by your beer league team.
I've been there.
actually, my beer league team has to get goalies from the side because I always have to do this show. But I'll tell you one thing, okay, with Quillen Roberts. He's been there since 2012. He's 22 years old. Since he was 18, he's been third string. Not a sniff from anyone. It's hard. It's hard knowing that you're never going to play. Because that's basically what it is. Because when you're a second keeper, there's that odd chance that you might get in for a cup game, you might get this. But when you're a third keeper, you're not playing. Two keepers very rarely go down.
And has Bono cemented his place as the legitimate
for sure.
backup?
For sure.
Jaron tweets in back on the penalty issue. Who is the guy on the show who still thinks it wasn't a penalty? I know a very good eye doctor.
You really have to do your work when you're going to come in here with some comedy. That is hack work. Come on. In the Twitterverse, we're better than this. Everyone's better than this. You can chirp all day, but eyeglasses?
Something original.
Horrible. That's so unoriginal.
Although that would be one Thomas Michalakos who needs the eye doctor.
Apparently.
Well, what's your Twitter handle?
At UnfitRef. And funny enough, Dan is wearing the glasses.
Oh, they're pretty thick lenses. I'm pretty sure I'm legally blind without these glasses. One last thing before we go to break. We do want to spend some time looking around Major League Soccer. We talked about if this is a must win against Orlando on Wednesday. Now that the playoff spot is clinched, who is the ideal playoff matchup in the first round?
I defy any gambler out there to tell me that they win money betting on MLS because there is no perfect matchup. There is. It's literally flipping a coin. You don't know who's going to win. It doesn't matter. It's that crazy. The league is that. The parity in the league is that crazy.
You're wrong. And I'll tell you why.
I'm wrong? I've never heard that before.
Well, no, you are completely right about the parity and stuff, but there is an ideal first-round opponent.
You can't play Chicago.
It's not New York City FC.
It's not. It's a
bye. You never beat them.
You want that bye. You want the top two spots. Whoa. You want that bye, first and foremost. You don't want to have to play in that quote-unquote.
Okay, right now, 3-6 in MLS's Eastern Conference, New York City FC, Philadelphia Union, Montreal Impact, and DC United.
If
TFC finished first in the conference...
But if you're TFC, do you not want the opportunity to beat your rivals who embarrassed you last year?
And beat you with 10 men.
Yeah, on your own pitch. Do you not want that opportunity to play your first home playoff game against your rivals, like I just said, and beat them like they beat you 365 days ago?
I think that's one way to go about it, but we'll see. I think DC United, They're a scary team right now. Mm-hmm. Since they made those trades midseason, they have just been on fire. We'll get to them. Montreal's bad right now.
Yep.
They are very bad.
Like, so you'd want to play them?
The only win they have in their last eight is against TFC.
I say if you're TFC, you just, whoever it is, I don't care. Because it doesn't matter.
Also, we're Montreal's going to beat better you. Without Didier Drogba. So you imagine he's going to be playing in the playoffs. Yeah. And that's not a good thing for Montreal.
No, but you are right. They've been terrible. And they're sliding. And they're lucky that they did so well to start the season. Because this was a team that we were talking about competing with TFC potentially for the top spot in the East. And clearly that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, and Philadelphia is a team that TFC should be able to beat as well.
How many wins do they have in their last eight games?
Montreal?
Yeah.
One. Mm.
And a lot of those have been at Stade Saputo, by the way, those losses.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been really ugly, including one to the Chicago Fire, who never win away from home.
When you lose to the Chicago Fire, you should be relegated.
And lose.
You just get relegated to the
USL.
You
go to USL.
Yeah, not only lose, lose convincingly.
Yeah. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, and special guest in studio, Marco D'Onofrio. We will take a trip around Major League Soccer now that we've exhausted every TFC topic there is. At Dan Riccio 590, at UnfitRef, and at Kubani 7. It's TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Well, everything's going down. Nothing seemed to feel the same. No one seemed to know my name. No one seemed to go my way. Who knows if I'll see you again? Who knows if I'll see you again? One more for the soulmate dreamers. One more for the wicked man. One more for the peaceful protest that keeps the war in demand. Who knows if I'll see you again?
First half is hard. We have to be better because as you get closer to the postseason, you can't start like that. But still, even with the start the past two games, we still have a chance to be sole holders of first place Wednesday. So another big game for us.
At the end, it was very emotional, and obviously we got the goal, and probably it was a questionable call at the end. So it's unfortunate, but we put ourselves in this position.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Let's see if he's finally tuned his set pieces. Azira's having a look. Surely Gashi. Yes, he does. Oh! Pick that one out. Schatz and Gashi. Practice makes perfect.
Hey, this is Alex Bono, and you're listening to TFC Pitchside.
I'm just going to let you watch. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Hashtag analysis. Thank you, Altitude Sports Network.
You know what, though? Announcers in North America don't do that enough. Just let us watch. Let us hear it. Don't talk over it.
Don't tell me I'm watching it. Of course, it's on my television. Of course I'm watching.
That's what I tuned in for. Just let it breathe.
I'm just going to let you watch this, guys.
Oh, looks awesome.
Okay. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, and Marco Kubani D'Onofrio. Marco, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
That was very nervous.
I'm a little bit concerned.
When you are at home and the TV is on, what are you doing?
I like to think sometimes I'm snacking. I'm not going to lie. I might be munching on some popcorn.
Are you not watching the television screen?
Sometimes I'm not. I'll be honest with you. How about half the time you might be looking at your phone or Twitter, you know?
It's like you saying right now, hey, folks, I'm just going to let you listen.
Yeah.
Of course. What else do we have?
Okay, yeah. Altitude Sports Network with the call.
Two thumbs up.
Shelks and Gashi, the goal that you absolutely have to see this weekend.
I'm just going to let you watch.
And you should go and check it out, MLSsoccer.com.
You should watch it.
It was a fantastic free kick goal, although Thomas would yell about the wall not being set up properly. He usually does.
It's usually my go-to.
Do you think it's like part of the strategy? Like
around the wall. The wall was set up poorly. The wall was set up poorly.
He's having too much fun back there.
Hey, he doesn't say it with enough conviction, though.
Yeah.
He just like
with enough gravitas.
Yeah, like I feel like when I say it, it really comes across like the wall was set up poorly. But that guy is just like, what is he talking about?
Dan Rich with Thomas Michalakos and Marco D'Onofrio here. We're taking you around Major League Soccer. Just a few games remaining. TFC with a 91% chance to clinch a top two spot in the Eastern Conference, that according to ESPN. But that Colorado game, kind of crazy. Vancouver, Colorado finishes 3-3 at BC Place. Colorado lets this one slip away, taking a page out of TFC's book. Can't close out a win when they are up a man for very many moments of the match. Although they did score, so that's encouraging, but they also allowed two goals.
How bad is Vancouver, though?
Yeah, Vancouver's
shout out, Alphonso Davies becomes the second youngest player to ever start in an MLS game.
That's correct, 15 years old.
It will be 16 in November 1st. Freddie Adu still has the record, though.
Here, let me throw this at you. Mm. What were you doing at 15? What were you guys doing at 15?
I can't.
Anything special?
I was MVP of the Holy Cross golf team.
Oh, that's impressive. I don't want to answer that because my mom might be listening. So I'm going
Whoa, you went to the other side of the spectrum on that one.
I was a nerd.
This guy's talking about golf.
Well, I was MVP of the golf team.
That's true.
Do you still have played a crap ton of Championship Manager.
Do you still have the trophy?
Yeah, of course. I have all four of them.
Yeah, of course.
I won every year.
15 years old, you still have the trophy?
He was the only
member
of the golf team.
They're locked in a box somewhere.
Sure. They're in your room.
And anyways. Yeah,
and he like kisses them before he goes to bed every night.
I was so good.
Shout out Lucas Lesio's dad, Claudio. He was our golf team coach.
This guy's like Al Bundy, you know, reminiscing of the glory days.
Shouting out people that...
I could have gone pro.
Shouting out people that no one knows. Let's
go. Lucas Lesio for the Montreal Canadiens. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
New York Red Bulls with a 1-0 win over the Montreal Impact. And it means the Red Bull clinch a playoff spot. They currently hold the tiebreaker over TFC for tops in the East. Montreal now 70% chance to make the playoffs. And it's Daniel Royer with the goal. And he is maybe one of the best summer signings in Major League Soccer. Like they get him from Moneyball soccer team, FC Midtjylland in from Denmark.
Do you remember? I believe they played Manchester United.
Yeah.
It was in the Champions League, right? Yeah.
And they are Moneyball team, as they call them.
Moneyball.
Daniel Royer coming over, and he looked great against TFC last week.
Yes, he did.
And does it again for them.
Seriously, serious question, though. One, how many Impact fans do you think listen to this podcast and this show?
I don't know. A few?
No. Okay. Because I just want to say... How bad, and I know we talked about this off air, but how bad is Montreal right now, and what's wrong
They're
with them?
Horrible.
What's wrong with them?
But let's say one thing, though.
How bad are the other two Canadian teams?
Yeah.
Like, last eight games, Montreal has 5 points, Vancouver has five points.
And the thing is, what's so shocking about it is, coming into this season, I actually did a piece for Soccer 360, the magazine, that all three Canadian teams are competing for top spots in their conferences. They were at one point.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
No one. But now here's one penalty that I say should have been called a penalty.
The one in Montreal?
Yeah. When you have two hands around your opponent and you're hauling them down, it's a penalty.
Dax Bacardi pulling down Matteo Mancosu, and Montreal probably deserved a late penalty, but they did not get it. I got to say, you know, I didn't watch the game in its entirety, but I watched the extended highlights with MLS Live, and there's a lot of times where you see Piatti doing all kinds of crazy stuff, running his pants off.
He does.
But Drogba doesn't even like show himself for a pass. He's just like walking up the field like it's, you know.
So are you surprised that Drogba's just mailing it in at this point?
Montreal's worse with Drogba on the field.
Well, just let him mail it in all along.
Drogba was thinking about his chirp to Theo Walcott and how he's going to chirp him on Twitter.
Montreal started the year, 4-2? Four wins, two losses or something like that. And most of those came without Didier Drogba in the lineup.
And I know he didn't score this weekend, but you also got to shout out Bradley Wright Phillips for one this season he's been having for the Red Bulls. Also, Jesse Marsh said he was the greatest Red Bull / Metro Star player ever.
Bradley Wright Phillips?
Yeah. Do you guys agree with that? I mean, he said Thierry Henry is obviously the biggest name, but their contributions on the field right
what
now,
about,
Bradley Ray Phillips.
Juan Pablo Angel.
Well,
yes.
This year, Bradley Ray Phillips passed his record as the all-time Red Bull leader.
He was the original, like, big name Premier League guy
Juan
to kind of come over and actually do really well. Because I remember him a lot of times with Aston Villa.
What? The Bachelor Juan Pablo.
No, I'm
talking. You guys were talking about?
No, I'm talking about Juan Pablo Angel.
I know.
Although
where's this
the
guy going?
Although why the Bachelor Juan mix Pablo.
The first of all, why
soccer
are you,
player, right?
First of all, why are you watching the
testimonial?
Bachelor?
Producer Bozy put that in my ear.
He played at the Dero testimonial.
Juan Pablo,
last
he's
year.
A player, man.
You know how embarrassing that
Montreal's
is.
Montreal's remaining schedule: San Jose, at Orlando, Toronto, and then at New England. Red Bulls have Philly, Columbus, and then they are at Philly to finish out the season. New York City FC 4-1 winners over the Chicago Fire. And New York get their first ever playoff berth with the win. Chicago still a 0.07 chance of making the MLS Cup playoffs.
Are you surprised that they...
Chicago still has a chance? That... Yes, I am. No, thank you for asking.
But seriously, coming into this season, did you think NYCFC would clinch a spot before Orlando City did? Because Orlando City seemed like they were the team that had their act together. They were the team going forward and... They just completely reverted this year, and Patrick Vieira has done absolute wonders with this NYC team.
He has. So I'll give him some credit there. I mean, it's Patrick Vieira. Okay, we'll give him credit. However, I still have no faith in this team. I think they're going to go into the playoffs, and they're going to come out just as quick.
If they host a game at Yankee Stadium, whoever they play against, if TFC has to meet them, say they meet in the conference finals, is that an advantage for NYCFC going into this playoffs, that narrow field that their team was built to play around?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, I hate that field. Crazy stuff happens on that field.
It's entertaining games.
You know
it
what?
For that.
I think TFC are probably hoping that somehow, some way, somebody else beats New York City FC because...
TFC. Oh, I'm saying it right now. I'll go TFC, on record.
That's
they're
their
out.
Bogey
they're
team.
Out. Their first playoff game. Which will be two.
NYC?
They're out. They're out.
By the way,
NYC. NYCFC. They're out.
Didier Drogba did get into a confrontation with some Red Bull fans this weekend in New Jersey. I wonder if MLS will act on that.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Odds that high. What's the percentage of that, Dan?
By the way, Chicago's getting likely to get MLS All-Star next year, and it's going to be same weekend as Lollapalooza. So if we're going to make a road trip, boys.
This has got to be. Saying, this has to be the
like,
one.
That's got to be the one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
New York City FC are at Houston, at D.C., and home to Columbus to finish out their schedule. D.C. United 4-1 winners over Orlando, and the Lions, as they call them, have given up 4 goals in each of their last 3 games. Their percent to make the playoffs now just 16%. This was a good look at TFC's next 2 opponents. One of them's red hot. The other one is... not. That being Orlando. So
where are you getting these stats, though, with these percentages? Where is it coming from?
ESPN.
Okay, good.
You got to pay attention, Tom.
Good.
Not MLSsoccer.com.
So sometimes the droning, like, I just get lost.
But by the way, can I call you Tom? Like, does anybody call you Tom? Or is it a Thomas, like?
We got, 3 minutes left.
Tom's good.
So
Tom's
you guys got to shut
let Riccio get
up.
Through it.
So it's DC, okay. Since they lost 4-1 to TFC on July 24th, they are 3-6-1. 3 wins, 6 draws, and 1 loss. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. And they've scored multiple goals in 8 of those 10 games. Mm. So trading away Espindola, bringing in Patrick Mullins, and finally the kid from Boca, Luciano Acosta, is finally playing like he's a kid brought up in one of the best young talent producers in the world.
It's worked for them.
Yeah. It's about time. That's all I'm saying. And Orlando can't stop conceding goals. They've given up 57 now for the year.
But, you know.
Record is 67. Did they reach that?
The Canadian part of me wants Kyle Aaron in the playoffs.
It's not going to happen. And TFC are going to knock him out this week.
Yeah, I know.
Columbus, 2-0 winners over New England. Columbus.
Kamara returns
home. Both MLS Cup final teams are not going to make the playoffs. It looks unlikely.
And that speaks about the parity of this
exactly.
league.
Exactly. It's crazy.
But
or it also means like crazy stuff happens in the playoffs and you can't predict MLS like Thomas said earlier.
And boom. You owe me a coffee.
I just want to touch upon Kai Kamara, shut down this game. Ola Kamari, Kamara, sorry.
Couple of G's.
Yeah, he did his thing.
He's been good. 15 goals on the season now. By the way, worst call of the week, and I saw it on that 10-minute video of bad calls from MLS refs from this weekend. Chris Penso, the referee in this match, candidate for worst penalty of the season. Like, right up there with the one called on TFC in Orlando. That bad. It was awful. New England remaining schedule, Sporting KC at Chicago, Montreal, Columbus. They have 5 games left, so still a chance, and 2 of them against Chicago.
And they've been coming on pretty strong.
When you have 2 games against Chicago, you have a good chance.
In the West, Real Salt Lake and FC Dallas play to a 0-0 draw. RSL haven't scored in their last 3 games. Dallas, they got to mix in a couple of CONCACAF Champions League matchups as they try to lock down the Supporters Shield. Seattle, 4-2 winners in L.A., and they now have a 60% chance to make the playoffs after we all written them off.
Well, they were 8 points back.
American That's Messi crazy. Coming through.
Mm-hmm. American Messi.
I was going to say Jordan Messi. Jordan Morris.
That works, though.
It does actually work. Jordan Morris with a brace. So Seattle still has 5 games left. That's why, even though they're on the outside looking in, they still look all right. Houston with a win over Portland, 3-1. Last year's MLS Cup winners yet to win on the road this year. Can you believe that? Like, people complain about TFC and getting road draws and stuff like that. And
yeah.
And they got 6 wins on the road.
But when you play 15 games and you have no wins on the road this late in the season.
But it's tough to win on the road in this league. And that's
messed
what,
up, man.
That's what people need to understand.
You know what, though? To have, as a professional team, to have 0 wins and be in the playoffs still. That's horrible.
But it also means that you've been kicking butt at home, so that's...
Well,
that's
you have to if you're not winning on the road.
Well, Portland has less of a chance to make the playoffs right now than Seattle does because Seattle has 2 games in hand.
And those
Portland.
Are 2 very big games in hand.
And that win against Vancouver was huge for them a couple weeks ago.
Sporting KC, 2-1 winners over San Jose. Peter Vermes, part of the last 2 KC wins against San Jose in San Jose. Just that the last time it happened was the year 2000 and Vermes was still playing. And they were the Wizards.
Which is the worst sporting franchise name.
Shout out Jimmy Conrad.
By the way,
yeah,
Houston,
Jimmy Conrad. That was the only good part about the Wizards.
By the way, on Houston, Mauro Manotas, the 21-year-old Colombian hat trick, didn't get a start under Owen Coyle. Since he was sacked, he started 6 of their last 7 games. They are 3-1-2 in those games. And he's been a beast. So there's reasons why a coach would get sacked. Hey, boys. It's been fun.
It's been great.
Always a pleasure.
I hope people learned something today.
Probably not.
Well, from all those stats you provided, I'm sure somebody took some.
Their heads are spinning
a lot of percentages right in there.
Lot.
By the way, TFC 91% to finish in the top 2. Must win on Wednesday, though.
And that stat is also not from MLS.com.
Must win on Wednesday. Thank you, Marco D'Onofrio.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Thomas.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what for.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Thank yous to producer Emil Delich. Thanks to you for listening. Subscribe on iTunes and leave us a message. Leave us a review. We do enjoy it. TFC Pitchside back with a match preview Friday to get you set for DC.
Just leave.